We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, well, hello everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. We survived Super Tuesday. No major surprises. Congratulations, President Trump. A well-deserved, massive, massive victory over Nikki Haley. By the way, we're going to play some audio. Haley's a sore loser. She bowed out of the race today, and she did not endorse President Trump. And I'm not surprised by this, because she's a sore loser. And she is very thin-skinned, Nikki Haley is. And we saw this when there were others in the race during the debates, Vivek Ramaswamy and Boots DeSantis and Krispy Kreme. They were all up there, and anytime they would say something about Nikki Haley, she would take it personally. How dare you? Who do you think you are? I'm a woman. And then when you point out the fact that she is a woman, how dare you call me a woman? Don't judge me because of my sex. Okay, well, all right. You can't have it both ways, Nikki. By the way, did you see this? There was an interview. Fox and Friends, they love to go to the diners. Now, you may not realize this, but this is my claim to fame at Fox News. I was the guy back in the day who said, you know what we ought to do? We ought to start sending a Ducey and Kilmeade and I think it was Edie Hill back in the day. This is a long time ago. I said, we ought to start sending these guys and gals into the diners. And they're like, wow, can we do that? I'm like, yes, if you trust me. I said, trust me on this. For example, whenever they would capture a terrorist, I would always go to the construction sites and interview the construction workers in New York City and ask what they should do. And you always got super great, great audio, great reaction. Anyway, they were in one of the diners yesterday, and they were interviewing a husband and wife, and it was I wish I could show you the reaction on the husband's face when the wife responded. And the wife said that she was not voting for Nikki Haley because she's a woman, and also because she feared that Nikki Haley might be menopausal. And so the husband had no emotion. He just stared straight ahead. That's it. Just don't say anything. Just let the ladies duke it out there. So I thought that was a little funny there. But anyway, Nikki Haley, sore loser, thin-skinned, and we'll see how all this plays out for her. This ended badly for her. It didn't have to, but it did. And I think we got to see, just like with Boots DeSantis, we got to see DeSantis for who he really was, and we got to see Nikki Haley for who she really is. And that's unfortunate. But I think we are all the wiser because of it. So, look, we've got a lot of ground to cover. There's a lot of news coming out of California. There were some local races of national importance, and we're going to talk about those as well. But I want to start out the day talking about the lady host over at MSDNC. And do we call them hostettes? What do we call them? Lady host? Hostettes, it's kind of like a sports team, right? You've got the Rebels, the Lady Rebels, the Rebelettes. You never know what to call the girls' teams. So anyway, you got the lady host, we'll be polite, over at MSDNC. And there was Joy Reid and Jen Circleback-Saki and Mr. Rachel Maddow. And they were all giggling. It was a giggle fest. And the reason why they were mocking and giggling Virginia voters is because of the exit polling data. And this exit polling data actually shows that the number one concern among Virginia voters is illegal immigration. And they were just having a fit over this. And we're going to play a lot of audio. Oh, wait a second. Wait. Stop. Whoa. Hold everything. We actually have the menopausal audio. Let's take a listen.
NBC just reported that Michelle Obama has said she will not run for president.
Thank God. Okay. Yes.
Ainsley said, I would love the reaction from a woman in the crowd. And
I wouldn't vote for a woman. And especially, you know, Nikki Haley, I'm just going to say this. She's probably menopausal. We don't need that.
Okay. She said, how about we vote for people regardless of their gender, just the right person for the job for America.
Yeah. And that's kind of, thanks so much, Will. That's kind of interesting because everyone speculated that she was going to run except her. She
has never. Nobody cares what you say, Brad Kilby. All right. Thank you very much. Nobody cares. Menopausal. Well, I'm not going to vote for the woman because she's got lady days. No, jeez, Lou. Ladies, is this true? Is this an issue? Are there more of you out there who feel like this woman in wherever she was at yesterday, North Carolina, Virginia, and she's not voting for Nikki Haley because she's menopausal? I would love to hear from the ladies on this. 901-260-5926. Men, you got to sit this one out. 901-260-5926. Anyway, back to MSDNC and the lady host over there. And they're mocking Virginia voters because Virginians are very worried about immigration. Cut number 10.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build a wall. Like, what?
And that deep baritone voice was Rachel Maddow, by the way, in case it threw you for a loop there. So then Joyless Reid, the racist, and I guess she is the racist ombudsman at MSDNC, she says, no, the real reason that people are afraid of the illegals is this, cut one.
But Republican voters don't vote that way. They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president. They're increasingly, from the Tea Party on, they're voting on race. They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border. The idea that they can't get whatever job they want, a black person got it, therefore drive all the blacks out of the colleges, get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on. They're just voting specifically on racial animus. Which at this stage, it isn't about economics.
No.
All right, a couple of things. First of all, get another wig, lady. That is, you cannot wear that style of hair. That is cultural appropriation, you racist piglet. And she is. And she's also a turd, ladies and gentlemen, a turd, a stinky, smelly turd. And I say that because this woman, day in and day out, is spewing this racist garbage over the airwaves. And I don't know why MSDNC allows this to happen, but this is really some nasty stuff. So I want to explain to the little ladies over at MSDNC, I want to explain to them why people in this country are concerned about immigration. And by the way, it is not just Virginia. Same thing in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, many other states. People are very concerned about it. And why are they concerned about it? Well, I'm going to explain that to you. The reason why people are concerned in Virginia is because just a few days ago, the news was filled with stories about a 14-year-old little Virginia girl who was sexually assaulted by an illegal alien from Venezuela. This illegal alien had already been previously arrested and detained, but he was set free so that he could find another victim on American soil. And he did, a 14-year-old little girl. Voters also very concerned about what's happening in the state of Georgia right now. In the aftermath of the murder, the brutal murder of Lakin Riley, beaten so badly she was almost unrecognizable. The person responsible, an illegal alien who had been captured at the border and then set free, committed crimes in New York City, was arrested and then set free, arrived in Georgia, where he killed this beautiful young 22-year-old nursing student. Now, I understand it's a giggle fest for the little ladies over at MSDNC, but I would encourage them to read the autopsy report of Lakin Riley. And maybe, just maybe, they can look at the photographs of what this man did to this sweet young American girl. And I can promise you this, folks, they won't be giggling. They won't be giggling anymore. It's not a joke what's happening in our country. And Donald Trump gets this. Donald Trump understands he can read the mood of the American people. And the American people are sick and tired of this nonsense. They're sick and tired of the lawlessness. They're sick and tired of the double standards. They're sick and tired of their government being weaponized against them. We the people are tired of it. And folks, I'm telling you, I can feel it in my bones that something exciting is going to happen in November. Now, the problem here is whether or not we are going to get out and vote. In Memphis, Tennessee, voter turnout, 10%. If that happens, Republicans lose. I'm being honest with you here. If we sit on our butts and do not get up and vote, then we deserve what we get. But 10%, that's not going to cut it, folks. We've got to have a massive turnout on Election Day. We've got to do better. And I will say this, Republicans, we've got to be on a wartime footing. We've got to be standing up and talking about these issues, calling out the Democrats. It's not a time for purple Republicans. It's time for red-blooded American patriotic Republicans. And it's time for Republicans on the local level, on the county level, on the state level, and on the national level to stand, and with one voice, it's got to be a coalition, folks. We've all got to be running on the same platforms, and we've got to be working off of the same talking points. We've got a country to save. And Donald Trump, he knows that, and he can feel it, and he can see it, he can sense it. And I'm telling you, if we want to win the Senate and the House, we've all got to be working together. We've got to be following Donald Trump's lead on all of this. And if we don't, we will lose. It is that simple. All right. If you agree, disagree, give me a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And this story from the Center for Immigration Studies, of the government now admitting that they are letting illegal aliens on board airplanes. They don't know who these people are. They don't know anything about their background, but they're being allowed to board these airplanes, and they're being flown all across America. We understand at least 43 American airports over the past year were involved in all of this. It is absolutely insanity. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Jim in North Carolina. Hi, Jim. What's on your mind?
Todd, how are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking, Jim.
You bet. Listen, I was just listening to Glenn Beck, and he reported that last year they flew in, the U.S. government flew in 320,000 illegals into the United States to 42 or 43 different airports. And what you said last week about that SOB that killed Lincoln Riley, I think you were right. I think he should die by blunt force trauma.
Yeah, I've got no problem with that, and I think it ought to be a public execution. Let these illegals know this is what happens when you break the law here in the United States of America.
Well, it's like I told Lydia when I called. You know, they say we need to take all the guns away so we can save one life. Okay. Well, what about this Lincoln Riley? Doesn't she count?
It's a great question, Jim, but in the eyes of the Democrats and in the eyes of the media, she doesn't count. Her life doesn't matter. I mean, that's the reality of it. Aside from talk radio and maybe Newsmax, I don't see a lot of people talking about what happened to this poor girl, Lincoln Riley. Jim, appreciate that call. God bless you. No, in all seriousness, if that's the way you're going to kill somebody with a baseball bat or whatever, then that's the way you ought to go out. Let's go to Mark in Florida. Hi, Mark. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. First of all, I want to congratulate Mr. Trump on his win. There's a couple points I wanted to point out. I was watching the last night. You know, I was listening to ABC and CBS and all that, and they're like, Nikki's.
All right. Mark, let's take him off. We've got a bad phone connection there. Sorry about that, Mark. Bad phone connection. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. But again, the reporting, and Glenn Beck was reading from the same report I'm sharing with you, is that 43 airports received 320,000 illegal aliens from January through December of 2023. We understand that these individuals were given a law enforcement exception, and we don't know what that is, but we understand these were very bad, very dangerous people that were allowed into the country. And this is what Trump is talking about out on the campaign trail. And folks, I would love to see Donald Trump go directly into some of these cities like Chicago, and hold a rally in Chicago's South Side. Hold a rally in the Bronx, in Queens, in Brooklyn. I'm telling you, people are angry. People are absolutely angry. And if it's not the illegal immigration, it's spending $50 for bread and cheese and milk down at the supermarket, the grocery store. I want to tell you a story. This is coming out of Middleborough, Massachusetts. A little boy named Liam, 12 years old. He got punished by his school for wearing a T-shirt that said there are only two genders. Can you believe that? In America. Look, here's the deal. Students don't forfeit their free speech when they walk into a school. And it's not about a shirt. By the way, the other kids were wearing shirts that had a lot more horrible things than that written on them. But it's not about a shirt. It's about government officials telling a seventh grader that he can't say something that's important to him. And that is not freedom. That is censorship. And if the government can censor a 12-year-old boy, they can censor you. And that's why this little boy is now represented free of charge by Alliance Defending Freedom. And all this month, we are raising money to help Alliance Defending Freedom fight cases just like this one. So every single penny you give is going to be helping kids like 12-year-old Liam from Middleborough, Massachusetts. And that's why we are supporting Alliance Defending Freedom this month. We are raising money. Our goal, $20,000. We made some great gains yesterday. Our goal today is to get to the $3,500 mark, and we need your help to do that. It's very simple. Just go to ToddStarns.com and click on that Stand with ADF banner at the top of the page. That's toddstarns.com, Stand with ADF banner, top of the page. You can also give them a call, 855-417-6556. Again, 855-417-6556. You're not just standing with Elias Defending Freedom. You're standing with this 12-year-old little boy in Middleboro, Massachusetts. That's what this is all about. So let's get going, folks. We'll be right back. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Hi, I'm Todd Stearns, and thankfully, Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls. And in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. So call 855-417-6556 right now or go to toddstearns.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've already pledged to raise $17,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to toddstearns.com or call 855-417-6556 to make your best offer right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom. All right, hate to break this to you good people. Your tax dollars are about to fund renovations for a gay sex and bondage club. Our friends over at Libs of TikTok uncovered about $1 million designated for a gay club called the Aviary. It's not so much about the feathered fowl as it is about sex and bondage and dungeons and kink parties. If you don't know what that is, Google it. Senate Appropriations Committee says the money will be used to renovate the LGBT center there in Pennsylvania at the request of Bob Casey and John Fetterman. Here's the problem. Fetterman said, oh, whoa, didn't know about that. And so he sent a letter saying, hey, I want to remove this from the bill, but you can't do that. So today the House is going to be considering it. And folks, I'm telling you, you need to be lighting up the phones on Capitol Hill. Tell the lawmakers this is one bill they should not whip. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great American Patriot, our good friend, former governor of the great state of Arkansas, Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor, hope you're doing good today.
You know, I'm doing great. We have a nominee for the Republican Party. It's now set and solid, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that we don't have 4 years more of Joe Biden, because I don't think the country could stand it.
It's really remarkable, Governor, when you look at the exit polling data and it is immigration. That is the issue that concerns every voter so far from Iowa to Virginia.
It really shouldn't be a big surprise because every state is a border state now. When you put 10 million illegal people in this country and you give them hotel rooms, three meals a day, health care, education for their kids, you give them in New York City $10,000 gift cards, and then you basically tell Americans, if you travel somewhere, go to the airport, we're going to put our hands all over your body, look through your luggage, you have to show us a photo ID and stand in line and let us put a wand up between your legs. But if you're an illegal, oh, come on in, heck, we don't care. And people are sick of that. It's not that we're anti-immigration, and I certainly am not, and I don't know anyone else who is. We know this country was built by immigrants who have come here from all over the world to make America a wonderful country. Our immigrants are our country, but not illegal immigrants. There's a big difference. And this is not about the illegal immigrants as much as it is a stupid government. But here's another issue, Todd. The biggest reason that people between the ages of 18 and 45 die is fentanyl. That's coming across our border, manufactured in China, carried across by the Mexican drug cartels, and ignored by the Biden administration. And the blood on the hands are of the Biden administration. And then you take this hideous case in Georgia where the young co-ed is out jogging. She is ruthlessly murdered by an illegal. And the response by some of the people on the left is, well, women shouldn't go jogging alone. No, maybe we shouldn't let people who should have been deported several times continue to live in this country scot-free. Maybe that would be a better solution. So, yeah, it's an issue, and I think it's going to cause a lot of Democrats to vote for Trump this year. And what we have to do is make sure they don't forget this message.
You see, I'm with you on that, Governor, and we've heard from a lot of minority voters. Memphis, of course, a majority minority city, and a lot of folks are switching over. They are done with the Democrats. We're seeing this play out. We saw this play out yesterday on Super Tuesday. The Democrats are losing their base right now.
And they should. One of the numbers that I was astonished by, 51% of voters who are under the age of 30 are now saying they're not going to vote for the Democrats. That's huge. I mean, that's normally a reliable group. There has been a 38% swing in Hispanic votes from Joe Biden to Donald Trump in the latest polls. And one of the most revealing numbers was when people were asked about the Biden policies, and they didn't just say they hadn't helped them. They actually said that his policies are hurting them. Now, Todd, that's a different kind of deal when people are saying, well, you know, he hadn't really done anything to help me, hadn't really done anything to hurt me. But when a person answers a poll and says, these policies are hurting me, then why would a person, why would anybody vote for a politician whose policies hurt their families? You got to be crazy or a masochist to do that.
You know, it seems to me, Governor, this is shaping up to be a 1980-style election cycle where Jimmy Carter, the infamous melees in America, and then Ronald Reagan came out of nowhere with this Make America Great Again message, and just, I mean, it was a landslide win for the Republicans. And I'm wondering if we're going to be seeing something like that happen again.
Well, we certainly could. And I think a lot of it is up to Donald Trump and the messaging. And I would advise him, and I will advise him, and I hope others will as well, and I hope he takes it to heart. He needs to be strong, he needs to be firm, but he needs to be forward-looking. He needs to remind people what's wrong with these policies and how they're hurting their families. We don't need to hear anything about, you know, past grievances. He needs to rise above it. He can. We've seen that he can. And if he does, I agree with you, it would be a landslide election, and it would be significant. And Todd, I know this sounds hyperbolic, but I'm not sure this country can survive four more years of a weaponized Department of Justice, FBI, CIA, IRS, going after people just like they did this journalist, Steve Baker. They put him in leg shackles. They perp walk him across a courtroom for four misdemeanors. And here's what doesn't make sense. He was sitting in a courtroom in leg shackles. There were people there arrested for felonies who weren't even handcuffed. And this is all about trying to humiliate people who are conservative, humiliate the people who are, as Joe Biden demonizes us, those MAGA conservatives, those Christian nationalists. You know, I'm tired of being told that being a Christian and loving America is somehow something I should be ashamed of. I'm proud of the fact that I am under the grace of Jesus Christ. That means I'm a Christ follower. As far as being a nationalist, I love my country. This country was good to this boy who grew up dirt poor in Hope, Arkansas, and who got to become a governor and run for president. I love America. So should I be ashamed of loving America? My gosh, I hope not. So if that's what it means, then count me guilty.
Do you think that's part of the overall strategy, though, to somehow shame these pastors into silence? As if there's something wrong with having an American flag in your sanctuary or talking about the political issues of the day?
Absolutely, it's what it's about. And it's to say, if you keep saying these things about being pro-life and conservative and the things that are called MAGA Republican, which basically means you love America and you think it ought to be put first, then, you know, you could end up getting arrested. We could come after your church. We could come after your family. When you see people like Paul Vaughn, the father over in Tennessee near Nashville, arrested 3 years after he sang and prayed at an abortion clinic. A SWAT team goes to his house at 7 in the morning, and arrest him in front of his 8 children, he now faces 11 years in prison. In prison. What did he do? Did he rob a bank? Nope. Did he burn a police station or torch a police car in Minneapolis? Nope. Did he hurt anyone, hit anyone, strike someone in the face, hit an old person in the back of the head with a brick on the sidewalk of New York? Nope. He sang and prayed at an abortion clinic, and this Biden government wants to put him in prison for 11 years. Todd, if we don't stand up to this kind of totalitarian nonsense, then we don't deserve a country, and we won't have one.
Well, as a Bonhoeffer, silence in the face of evil is evil itself, and I think you're right here, Governor. Look, in Shelby County, Tennessee, Memphis, less than 10% of registered voters went to the polls yesterday. That's just unacceptable.
Wow.
We cannot. Wow. We will lose elections if the numbers are that low.
Mm.
Governor.
Well, that is. Yeah.
I'm
so
sorry. Go
sad,
ahead.
And it's got to change.
No, it does. And I appreciate your frankness here because I share your concerns. I believe this is a pivotal election. The nation is at a crossroads. And if the Democrats take control, my greater concern is we've got some aging Republicans up on that Supreme Court. And that could be a disaster if the liberals take the Supreme Court.
It sure could. And, you know, I'm sometimes disappointed even with occasional decisions by Kavanaugh or Barrett. But generally, thank goodness Trump put some people on the court that has at least a semblance of respect for the Constitution. And I'd love to have some more. Mm. I don't want them to be conservative justices. That's, to me, unimportant. I want them to be constitutionalist. They shouldn't have an ideology. I just want them to look at the Constitution, take it for what it says, and rightly apply it to the law.
Well said. Well said. Well, Governor, we're going to leave it there. A big show coming up Saturday on TBN as well as Newsmax. Who's on the big show?
I'm excited about having Chuck Lavelle. He's the music director for the Rolling Stones for the past 40 years.
Oh, wow.
Has started with the Allman Brothers, one of the great people of all time. But here's what's an interesting fact about him. He is a true conservationist, was America's tree farmer of the year a few years ago, lives in Georgia on a tree farm, a wonderful human being, and just a true Renaissance man. And we're going to have the Oak Ridge Boys also on the show with us. You know what? I got to correct. Chuck is next week. The Oak Ridge Boys are going to be with us this week. And Governor Mike Parsons of Missouri will be our guest this week. But I'm teased for next week, Chuck Lavelle.
That's going to be a fun show. By the way, I had to drive to Dallas, First Baptist Dallas, over the weekend. Drove through Arkansas. I love that 75-mile-an-hour speed limit you guys have over there.
We want to give you something to love about us, and if that doesn't work, I think our new governor will certainly make you proud.
She is doing a terrific job, and we're super fans of Governor Sanders over there. All right, Governor, we're going to leave it there. Always good having you on the show.
Thanks. Great to talk to you, Todd.
All right, Governor Mike Huckabee on the big show. Yeah, it's true. 75-mile-an-hour speed limit, and the roads are pristine over there. You hit Tennessee, and you're going to be like hitting speed bumps, potholes the size of moon craters. Unbelievable. Well, there you have it, folks. Governor Mike Huckabee sort of laid it out there about what is at stake in November, and it is time for every Republican to join together, and we've got to stop these communists from taking over America. I mean, that is really that simple. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for your continued support. And to thank you, they have an overstock clearance sale right now for the best prices ever when you use the promo code STARNS, and you get free shipping on your entire order. Get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0 and the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived. Won't last long, folks. Get a 6-pack towel set for only $29.98 and take advantage of the free shipping on larger items like mattresses and mattress toppers, 100% 100% made in the USA on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything is on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels. They absorb, dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, so much more. To get the best offers ever, go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 and get free shipping on your entire order while supplies last. All right. Coming up in the next hour, Jeffrey Lord is going to drop by from American Spectator. Also, Congressman Mike Collins from Georgia, he is introducing legislation called the Lake and Riley Act. He's going to tell us all about that. Also, he has invited Lake and Riley's parents to sit with him at the State of the Union, which is tomorrow night. Notice that President Biden did not invite Lake and Riley's family to sit in the presidential box. What does that tell you? Also, Monica Crowley is going to be here, and Bill Abbott, who is the head honcho over at Great American Media, and many of you are big fans of Pure Flix and a lot of the great programming, family friendly programming coming out of out of Great American Media. So, looking forward to that as well. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, another interesting story coming out of Super Tuesday. In San Francisco, there were two measures on the ballot there, and both of them dealt with law and order. So San Francisco used to be one of the most elegant and beautiful cities in the country, and it was just really, it's breathtaking. The architecture, the man-made architecture, and the God-created environment. Just beautiful. But in recent years, the city has been turned into a third-world hellhole. That's where Tony Bennett left his heart, in San Francisco. Great song. Crime is so bad that dozens and dozens of downtown businesses have shut their doors. Downtown now pretty much an urban ghetto, and if you drive or walk, you don't want to walk around in downtown San Francisco anymore, but it is littered with homeless tents. The sidewalks are covered in human waste. The playgrounds, it's even dangerous for the kids because the drug addicts leave their dirty needles, which, by the way, are provided by the taxpayers. The dirty needles are just left in these playgrounds, and poor little kids are running around, and all of a sudden, boom, they've got a needle stuck in their foot. And the only people to blame for this are the Democrats. They are the ones who created this dystopian cityscape. It's the Democrats. But on Super Tuesday, the voters, and by the way, they've already removed their George Soros DA. That was step one. And now they're passing these ballot measures that, number one, if you're getting welfare, and they think you're on drugs, you got to get a test. You've got to have a test. You can't get welfare and be on drugs. The other measure literally uncuffs the police so they can actually fight crime. So it's about time that the good people of San Francisco understand that elections have consequences. So good for you guys. Let's go to the phone. Randy in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hi, Randy. What's on your mind today?
Oh, just to follow up on your comment about the highways in Arkansas and Tennessee. I haven't been to Arkansas lately, but you're correct about the potholes everywhere in Tennessee, especially Memphis. I recently drove to Birmingham, Alabama, and that speed bump effect on the highways is really pronounced in Mississippi. Until you cross the Alabama state line, or it's like smooth as glass.
Boy, you're not kidding. That's Interstate 22, for those of you who may not know. And Randy, it's like you're right. You're right. It's like driving on glass. It's very nice. But and there's a big bump, and you realize that big bump is when you realize, oh, we're in Alabama now.
Yeah. Really, driving from Memphis through Mississippi, it's bam, 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 bam. you know, like every 20 feet is that effect of that that concrete highway.
It's a good point. Randy, there was a lady who got pulled over by the police, and she was, I guess, swerving. And the officers thought she might be a little under the influence, but she was explaining to the officer that she was tired of having to, you know, get new tires. And she was swerving because of the giant pothole. And the officer said, ma'am, have a nice day.
Oh, yeah. 385. There was five cars that blew out their tires in one 20-minute span.
Wow. You
know, over the freezing temperatures in January, I believe.
Well, I reckon elections have consequences, but God bless Arkansas and Alabama. They at least keep their roads clean and clear.
There's one thing about Arkansas. My parents lived in Flippin, Arkansas for about 15 years on the White River. And there's one spot as you're approaching it where you could actually park your car and see five different speed limits
wow.
in one viewing. I mean, wow. It was a major relentless speed traffic. It went from like 55 to 40 to 35 to 20 to 35. You know, you just
that is a speed trap. Randy, we got a skedaddle, my friend. Otherwise, I'm going to get a ticket. So thanks for calling in. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hey, folks, hour two of the big show coming up. We've got a whole lot more to talk about. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July. I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us. I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind. It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that. At its best, politics is about bringing people into your cause, not turning them away. And our conservative cause badly needs more people. This is now his time for choosing. I end my campaign with the same words I began it from the book of Joshua. I direct them to all Americans, but especially to so many of the women and girls out there who put their faith in our campaign. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for God will be with you wherever you go. In this campaign, I have seen our country's greatness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, America. God bless you.
Oh, Lord. All right. So that means she's going back home. Have you noticed Nikki Haley in all of her speeches, she talks to us like we're a bunch of school kids and she's reading a book. Have you noticed that? Anyway, welcome to hour two of the big show. Great to have you with us today. Nikki Haley dropping out of the race earlier today, but she is not endorsing Donald Trump. Want to bring in our good friend. He is a contributing editor for American Spectator, Newsbusters, and Daily Caller, also a terrific author. The website, thejeffreylord.com. Jeffrey Lord joins us. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Just great, my friend Todd. Interesting day after.
Yeah, were you surprised that she decided to go ahead and call it a day?
No, I thought this was coming for a while. You know, there was, I always say this, there was a Speaker of the California House, a Democrat, when Ronald Reagan was governor of California. His name was Jesse Unruh. And he was effectively the boss of the California Democratic Party. And he once famously said that money is the mother's milk of politics. And I would say that he's right. And when you start to go down the road of losing all the time, eventually your money starts to evaporate. And that's what was beginning to happen with Nikki Haley. I think the Koch brothers abandoned her finally. And, you know, you just can't keep running for president when you have no money. So between no money and no votes, that's pretty much the message.
And I'm even questioning whether or not those were mostly Republican votes she was getting. I mean, when you look at some of the polling data,
yes,
you know, these people said if Haley wasn't in the race, they're voting for Biden.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. You know, it just, I have to say, I was somewhat amazed here. I just thought she, you know, once upon a time had a very bright political future. And it just seemed to me that she was imploding as this went along. And the thing to do is to do what Governor DeSantis did. You don't have the votes. You're losing out on the money end of things. So you gracefully withdraw and endorse your opponent. That's what you do, and particularly if you want to have a future down the road. And, wow, I think she's pretty much gone in terms of that.
Yeah, we had Trump on the show Monday, and he said she's a spoiled brat. I don't think there's much love lost between those two, but I doubt that there's going to be a role for her in the administration.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. Her time has come and now gone.
So, Jeffrey, I want to get your take on the Democrat side, and then out in California, there are some interesting races. But this uncommitted protest vote against Biden, it is really stepping up. And in Minnesota, nearly one in three voters back somebody other than the president. And of course, the president lost American Samoa to some guy nobody's ever heard of. What do you make of that?
What's that old saying? As American Samoa goes, so goes the nation.
That's it. We're printing up the T-shirts now.
I think he's got a real problem on his hands, and this began to surface in Michigan, I guess. But you've got all these people who are, you know, pretty far to the left. And they think that Biden is just not one of them. And I find that somewhat amusing, but be that as it may, it presents a real problem for him. And, you know, I don't know if you saw the video clip of AOC being hounded on the streets of New York by pro-Palestinian supporters. And I thought, wow, they've got a real problem in the Democratic Party with these people on the very far left. They're turning on each other now.
Oh, it's a great thing. That was actually, Jeffrey, that was my old apartment building in downtown Brooklyn where all of that went down. I'm like, holy cow. I could have been there. I could have witnessed that. But to your point, I mean, the whole party has become radicalized. I mean, you thought that AOC was, you know, and she's pretty far out there. But there are people even farther out than AOC. And I suspect we're going to watch the Democrats get even more liberal and more leftist as the election cycle goes on.
Well, I think that's right. And for those of us who are old enough to remember, the 1968 Democratic Convention was a disaster. And I particularly remember it because I was a 17-year-old page at the Republican Convention that year that nominated Richard Nixon in Miami Beach. And the convention went like clockwork. It was great. Nixon got nominated, picked Spiro Agnew as his running mate. Reagan supported him. Rockefeller supported him, all the others of the day. And it was the picture of unity. And then the next month, the Democrats gathered in Chicago, and holy cow, massive demonstrations that turned violent.
Terrible.
They had the police out there, and what was his name? Senator Abraham Ribicoff from Connecticut nominated George McGovern for president. Of course, he didn't get very far that year. 4 years later, he did win the nomination, got clobbered by Nixon. But In 1968, McGovern is nominated at the convention, has his name put in nomination, and Ribicoff says, with George McGovern as president of the United States, you wouldn't have riots and the police riots and brutality in the streets of Chicago, something like that. Well, this is in Chicago, right? And the cameras zoom in on Chicago Mayor Richard Daley, who's yelling. You can't hear him, but you can clearly see he's got his hand to his mouth and he's yelling. And then at some point he takes his finger, his index finger, and slashes across his throat, meaning take him off television, take him off the podium. But they really had a problem on their hands. And I really think, and interestingly, I think their convention is in Chicago again this time. I really think they've got a problem on their hands. And when they get these far leftists, as they had in Chicago in 1968, their party really has a problem.
Our good friend Jeffrey Lord on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Jeffrey, looking at California, where they had that, it was a fascinating Senate race. And, of course, the way it works there, the top two vote getters advanced to a runoff. And it's been, what, since 1988, I think, that Colorado, or rather California, has had a Republican senator. And, of course, you've got Garvey, the great baseball player, picking up a spot in the runoff against a shifty shift, pencil neck.
Yeah, you know, this is so totally American. You know, as you know, I worked for Jack Kemp. And Jack became famous as the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills and became quite the hero in Buffalo. And I think it was in 1970 that he left football and got elected to Congress. He was a superstar sports celebrity. So, too, is Steve Garvey. And remembering also that California is the state that elected an actor named Ronald Reagan as governor, and a few years later elected another actor named Arnold Schwarzenegger as governor. They get these, whether it's political or sports celebrity, the celebrity, you know, has the name ID and generally can be pretty popular and win elections. So I would not underestimate Steve Garvey's chances at all.
I'm looking at some of the data. This is, and again, they're saying 48% of the results in, but Garvey is not that far away from Adam Schiff. I mean, it's 33.2% to 32.5%. And then you've got Katie Porter and Barbara Lee. Again, it's a heavily Democrat state, so this could be a very interesting race to watch in November.
Yes, it could. And, you know, the way this is structured, I remember, again, to go back in history a little bit, in 1980, there were various state parties around the country on the Republican side. They couldn't get their A-list candidates for the Senate to run because they thought they would lose. So they thought they would wait until a better time. So they wound up nominating in different states their B or C list prospects. Well, Ronald Reagan was at the top of the ticket, and there was a Reagan landslide, and these people all woke up the next day to find that they were senators, which was pretty amusing. And I can well believe that Donald Trump could be popular enough that he could bring in votes lower down on the ballot and, you know, it helped Steve Garvey in this case and certainly helped other Republicans around the country.
And, of course, the other big story coming out of California, those two props that they were voting on in San Francisco, going after the drug addicts and uncuffing the police so they can do their job. I'm wondering if the folks in San Francisco and across California have really woken up to this idea that elections really do have consequences.
Yeah, I do think that is slowly happening. I mean, you know, for people like you and me and your audience, just plain common sense has been jettisoned by all these people on the left. And you just know that at some point it's going to catch up with them. And the people like Mayor Adams in New York, who, you know, all out there for sanctuary cities, and then then all these illegal immigrants appear on their doorstep, and suddenly now they're changing their mind about sanctuary cities. No common sense. And when you see the results of their policies, eventually they too wise up.
All right, real quick here, Jeffrey. What is your advice for Donald Trump? He's not at the magic number yet. That's going to happen. What, probably at least in the next couple of weeks, he'll get yes. to that magic number. What does Trump need to be doing between now and November?
I think just continue to be himself and be the polar opposite of Joe Biden. And I would add, and I think he is planning on doing this. Going after making a major effort for like the black vote or the Latino vote, minorities, people that you might think would be predisposed not to vote for him. And I think, you know, making a real effort to get those votes would help him a lot.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's solid advice. Jeffrey, we're going to leave it there. TheJeffreyLord.com, everybody, is the website. The man knows politics. And Jeffrey, look forward to getting you back on very soon.
All right, my friend. Be well.
All right. You do as well. Jeffrey Lord, everybody. TheJeffreyLord.com is the website. You got to go read it. And he has covered politics for a long time, and he knows what he's talking about. He does. All right. What advice would you like to give President Trump? Moving forward, what does Team Trump need to be doing? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. Wow. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Let's go to Germantown, Tennessee. Murph listening to us on KWAM. Hey, Murph, what's going on?
Dr. Stearns, always a pleasure. How's things going?
Well, you know, we're trying to keep it stirred up, Murph, but so far, so good.
I just caught the tail end of your discussion with whomever that was about, you know, the problem we've got with illegal alien immigrants. And I thought you might find the following interesting. To admit foreigners indiscriminately to the rights of citizens the moment they put their foot in our country, as recommended by the message being the Constitution, would be nothing less than to admit the Grecian horse into the citadel of our liberty and sovereignty. Alexander Hamilton, 1802. And why we don't listen to those gentlemen and study those gentlemen more baffles modern science.
Well, he's just a Christian nationalist, Murph. You know Alexander. Alexander, yep. Hamilton.
Yes, sir.
A racist.
He is brilliant. I mean, he and John Jay and James Madison wrote the Federalist Papers, and that ought to be a required reading, and or not all of it, but maybe Federalist 10 and maybe Federalist 51. And I just don't understand why it's not. But anyway, keep swinging, and I hope it's going well. And if you talk to Miss Grace Baker, give her a hug for it.
Merv, I will do that, and you're the official historian of the Todd Stearns Radio program. We've just given you a battlefield commission.
Thank you so much. Take care.
All right. The great Merv from Germantown, Tennessee, retired school history teacher. We need more teachers like Merv. Let's go to Jim in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Jim. What's on your mind?
You know, Todd, you asked a great question, but, you know, every time I listen to your show, it's always great. But what advice could you give Donald Trump? And I thought about that for a while, and I thought of only one thing that I could probably suggest, and that would be if there's any way that he could differentiate from people looking at him necessarily as a person, because people think of him as a bully. People think of him maybe as somebody that always tries to get his way. But look at his policies. I mean, how can you argue with his policies? I was talking with my sister-in-law, and she said back in 2020, I can't vote for Trump. And I said, why? And she said, you know, he's a bully. I just can't vote for a bully. And I said, well, tell me, which one of his policies do you disagree with? And, you know, she was quiet for about 90 seconds to 2 minutes. 90 seconds, which is a long time. And then she said, I can't think of a single one. So maybe if he could shift it off of a focus on him as to what America loves, what America wants, what America's striving for.
Jim, it's a great point, and the computer's going to cut us off here. But, Jim, great point. You give us a call back one of these days. I like the way Jim thinks. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy to have you with us. And we've been asking you, what advice would you give President Trump moving forward? He's going to hit that magic number in the next primary races. So what advice would you give him? 901-260-5926 is our number. By the way, Newsmax is conducting a national poll as well, and they want to know, who do you think the president should pick for VP? Names being thrown around: Tim Scott, Ron DeSantis, Ben Carson, Kristi Noem. Well, Newsmax wants to know who you want. And you can vote right now by texting the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP, SKIP to 39747. President Trump will be provided all of the polling data, so he'll be able to see that you have voted and who your recommendation is. Again, SKIP, text that word to 39747. Well, I mentioned earlier that some legislation has been introduced in Congress, the Laken-Riley Act. The man responsible for that legislation is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now, Congressman Mike Collins from Georgia's 10th Congressional District. Congressman, good to have you back on.
Hey, man, I appreciate you having us.
All right. Well, first of all, I understand that you have invited Laken-Riley's parents to be your special guest at the State of the Union. Is that right?
We did. We extended an invitation to them a few days back and talked to them on several different occasions. I don't anticipate for them to show up. I know it's a very, very hard time right now for them.
Well, no doubt about that. And I have to tell you, I've read the mom's Facebook postings, and clearly a devout Christian family, and they are really clinging to their faith in this terrible tragedy. Good for you for at least extending the invitation.
You know, and you have to, you know, Todd, you know, the good Lord always comforts those that need it most, and he'll be right there with you. You know, and it's good. I cannot understand how somebody who doesn't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ goes through things like this. I couldn't understand it.
Congressman, let's talk about your legislation here, the Laken-Riley Act. In a nutshell, what is that legislation going to do?
It does three different things. First of all, it recognizes the fact that the Biden administration policy on our border has been a complete failure, and that their lack of initiative to secure that border has resulted in the death of Laken-Riley. The second thing it does is it adds theft into the list of criminal activity that local law enforcement can use to contact ICE to come and detain these people and take them and hopefully deport them. And the third thing it does is if ICE or the HHS doesn't want to comply with coming and picking these people up, that these state, local, and law enforcement agencies, they can go straight to federal court, get a federal judge to point a finger at them, says, get down there or get over there and get these people detained. So it's a very simple, common sense, great piece of legislation. You're talking about a suspect here that, you know, was in New York, got pulled over, cited for suspended license, picked up his little criminal trade and decided he'd head down south to another sanctuary city where he set up shop. And then, you know, he was cited for shoplifting just days before this incident. And this act would have prevented him from being in that area and committing this heinous crime.
Well, it could have been prevented at the border initially when they made the initial stop, and then the child in New York City would not have been injured by this guy.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, it goes straight back to the fact that the Biden administration has got an agenda, and they are just letting these people come in at any point, any willy-nilly, wherever they want, whenever they want. And you know, Todd, if they're going to come in breaking the law right off the bat, you really think they're going to respect our laws when they get here? They're not going to pay any attention to that. And it's actually a broader, bigger issue than that, because Athens, Georgia is acting like a sanctuary city. In the state of Georgia, it's illegal to have sanctuary cities. But we've got a mayor there, Kelly Gertz, who has taken it upon himself to decide which laws of the state of Georgia he would comply with. Doesn't that sound familiar? We have got an epidemic across this country, and we've had for several years of people that just break the law with no regard, no respect to our law enforcement or our rule of law. And by God, we've got to get this country back to being based on the rule of law.
So this is, again, this is your congressional district where all of this happened.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, Congressman, is there anything that can be done? Because you're right, it is against state law to harbor illegal aliens. You cannot have sanctuary cities. But not only is the city a sanctuary city, it certainly looks as though the sheriff of Clark County is just as guilty. And they may be parsing words here, but what they are doing is providing sanctuary for these illegals.
Oh, yeah. You've got a sheriff in Clark County that has said that he was not going to work with ICE. You've got a DA there that has not been prosecuting anything. And then you've got a mayor there that has been inviting these NGOs to bust these people in. You know, the good people who send their children, their students, or young adults, rather, to Athens, Georgia, to get a higher education, I would bet you 90% of them don't know that Athens is acting like a sanctuary city. Otherwise, they would have probably put that in the calculation of whether or not they're going to send that student to that school.
Is there something that can be done about the mayor legally?
You know, I'm not a lawyer. You know, I know there is a lot of pressure on this guy to step down. If he had an ounce of honor in him, he would have already resigned. But he doesn't. And, you know, I know that they had some county commission meetings last night, and there were a lot of people there. There's a huge crowd down there in Athens that are not letting this go, and I hope they don't. And, you know, hopefully we can force this guy to go ahead and resign. I don't care if he's got 6 months or 6 days left in his tenure. He needs to go, and he needs to go today. And the state legislature has done some fast-track good work as well in the state of Georgia to start defunding and pulling back funds for these cities and these counties that are going to act that way.
So, folks, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, we have Congressman Mike Collins. He's been on the program before. The murder of Lakin Riley occurred in his congressional district. And Congressman, I'm curious to get your take on MSNBC. They were laughing and mocking at the people of Virginia because the exit polling data shows the number one issue for Virginia voters is immigration. And you had Rachel Maddow, Jen Psaki, all of those folks literally laughing at these voters. What do you say to those hosts?
Well, I would love for them to say that to Lakin Riley's family, you know, and laugh at that. But here's the thing, Ty. We're fighting a war on two fronts right now. We're fighting that war down there at the southern border with this invasion, but we're also fighting a war within our country with these people who are lawless, who have come into this country with nefarious ideas and deeds on their mind. They're bringing their criminal trade with them. Who knows if they were let out of prison in Venezuela? I don't know. I don't care. They need to go. But we have got to find ways that we can force people to round these people up. We need to start deporting people. And when Donald Trump gets back in that White House, if you're listening to this radio station, you're here illegally, You might as well pack your bags. You're going home.
That's it. Well, Congressman, we appreciate you introducing this legislation and certainly our condolences to the family. Have you had a chance to actually talk to the family?
I have. I've talked to them several times on the phone and by text. It's tough, man. It's gut-wrenching to me.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well,
you know, anybody, I've got a 26-year-old daughter, you know, and you worry about them. You do. You know you're not supposed to, but you do. And you send them off to these places where you think they're safe. And Lord knows this is the worst thing that could happen.
Well, Congressman, please convey to the family that there are so many people around the country praying for them and standing alongside them. And I will give you the last word here, but it's interesting. President Trump, who has talked to the family, said Joe Biden will never say Lincoln Riley's name. What does that say about Joe Biden?
Well, it speaks to his leadership, one thing, you know, lack of it. But it tells me the other thing is they're hoping that if they don't say her name, that this thing will just disappear and it'll go by the wayside and it'll be just another number. But I can assure you one thing, I'm not letting it go.
Good for you. Good for you. Congressman, we're going to leave it there. We appreciate you coming on the program today.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. Congressman Mike Collins from the great state of Georgia, and his legislation would force ICE to detain migrants arrested for any sort of a theft. And this goes back to the fact that the killer of Lincoln Riley had been arrested multiple times before being charged with her murder. Just unbelievable. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So yesterday at the Memphis City Council meeting, I'm telling you, they ought to do a reality TV series about the Memphis City Council. So they have the room is filled with all of these far left activists, and we're talking about Antifa, BLM, we're talking about the pro Hamas goons, and it looks like the bar scene out of Star Wars. That's what it looks like in the city council meetings. I mean, I've heard rumors, I can't verify this, but they actually like to fumigate the room after every single council meeting. It's just terrible. Little BO. So anyway, it's hard on the city council because a lot of the names are difficult to pronounce. And one of the city council members was, he was trying to pronounce this person's name, and it just wasn't happening. J.B. Smiley is the councilman. I think he's chairman of the city council. And it just wasn't happening. And so he butchered the poor guy's name. And I think the guy's name is Yabba Dabba Dooba Hakuna Matata. And it got garbled. And instead of saying, the next speaker, and by the way, they always do this. They come up and they have no jobs. Some of them may, in fact, be homeless. And all they do is get up in front of the city council and they're like gadflies, just smelly, pesky gadflies. And so anyway, J.B. Smiley said, all right, let's go to Abdul Hakamdaha. And clearly that was the it's hard, you know, because the guy's got a long name and he butchered it. And he should have said, let's please welcome Yabba Dabba Dooba Hakuna Matata. But it just didn't come out that way. So that enraged this one activist. Take a listen.
My name is Amber Sherman. My address is 6070 North Belgrove Cove, Memphis, Tennessee. I've written a speech that I'm not going to say because I'm so disgusted by the action of the city council today. And as I was sitting there, I really was resonating on the fact that this is how we treat communities we don't see as the majority, because these Arab and Muslim folks are in here talking about something that's very important to them, and half the council is gone. Half of y'all aren't paying attention. Pearl Walker looked like she's sleeping. Janika wasn't paying attention most of the time. They're having to write signs in real time to tell you to pay attention because you aren't listening to them. They're talking about their families and people who look like them dying of hunger, being run over, shot in the face, and y'all not listening to them. And it's very disrespectful. If you don't know how to pronounce someone's name, ask an Arab-speaking person how to do it. But to laugh and joke about how you don't know how to say it or you can't understand the handwriting, you don't do that to black folks when we come speak. We got difficult names, too. I think it's extremely disrespectful the way y'all have acted today. And I don't feel like any of y'all are listening to them. And to act like you don't know about the resolution they sent you. They've been emailing you. for weeks about this resolution. None of y'all have enough courage to pick it up and sponsor it. So that's why I had to all come here, over 70-plus people, and make comments that you complained about because you don't want to hear 50-plus comment cards. But this is the only avenue we have to speak to you is to come to city council meetings. So I wish you would just do your actual job, read your emails, respond to your constituents, set up meetings they're asking you to set up, and listen to them.
All right. Thank you. Yes, you go for it. You go, girl. Shanika Tamika Jefferson. Oh, I'm sorry. Her name is Amber Sherman. My apologies. I just pulled a J.B. Smiley, and I just accidentally mispronounced. So, look, here's the deal. Memphis, they're wanting the Memphis City Council to pass a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Here's a thought. How about we call for a ceasefire right here in Memphis, Tennessee? Can we do that? We'll be right back. All right, folks, listen up. Huge event happening at Mid-America Seminary here in Memphis. This is March 21st through the 24th. It is the Mid-America Passion Play. And if you haven't seen this production, folks, pack the kids in the car and head over to the Mid-America Seminary. March 21st through 24th. It is an absolutely spectacular performance and incredibly moving. And we want you to go and see this. If you would like information, go to midamericapassionplay.org. That's midamericapassionplay.org. And you'll be able to see photographs. So they've got a great video there. Just an unbelievable performance. And it is life-changing. I will tell you that. It is life-changing. Again, March 21st through the 24th. And I think on the weekend they have matinee performances. So you're going to want to go, and these tickets are going fast. So be sure to go to MidAmericaPassionPlay.org and get yourself some tickets. All right, let's go to the phones here. Greg in Georgia listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Greg. What's on your mind?
Oh, I just got some advice for Donald Trump.
I'm all ears.
Well, you know, if you remember the old drive-in theaters where you drive in, put the speaker on your car, I would like to see a screen like that of all his promises that he promised and all the promises he kept. And on the other side, Joe Biden, what he promised and what he kept. And I would like to know what he's going to do for us now in the future when he becomes president. And I would also like to see a billboard that says, "My name is President Donald Trump, and I will protect you whether you're a Republican or Democrat or independent. You know, I will keep you safe. Doesn't matter who you are."
Greg, I like that idea, and reaching across to the other side, because I think there are a lot of disenfranchised Democrats out there. So good thought. Thanks for that call. Let's go to John in North Carolina real quick. John, we've got about 60 seconds. What's your advice for President Trump?
My advice is pretty simple. We know that he's going to be at the national convention. He's going to announce who's his vice president there. He needs to say, in 2 days, I'm going to do a town hall meeting, and I want you to meet my pick for the attorney general, for the czar for the border, and who's going to be my secretary of state. And we're going to tell you as a team, Team Trump, what we are going to do for America. And when they get sworn in, they're going to do what they need to do. And I'm going to be able to focus on the rest of the problems of America.
John, that's actually a really good idea. So you're saying, hey, let's run as a team. So President Trump comes out and says, here's who I want in the cabinet, and we're going to be campaigning together. I love that idea. John, got to run. Appreciate you calling in. Folks, we're taking your calls. What advice would you like to give President Trump as we move towards the general election? And that's happening very soon. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, don't forget, head over to midamericapassionplay.org and check out the shows. Hope to see you there. That's where I'm going to be. We'll be right back.
Live live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Wow, what a day. Governor Mike Huckabee. Jeffrey Lord, Congressman Mike Collins, a lot going on, and of course your great calls as well. Write down our number, you'll need this if you want to call in, 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. I want to bring into the conversation one of the top podcasters in all of America. I'm talking about our great friend, Monica Crowley. Monica, hope you're doing good today.
Hey, Todd, it's great to be with you.
Now, Monica, I'm going to play some audio, and I just want you to respond to this because you're a lady, all right? We're not allowing men to respond to this audio. This was Fox and Friends, and they were talking to a female voter at a diner with her husband about why she would not be voting for Nikki Haley.
NBC just reported that Michelle Obama has said she will not run for president.
Thank God. Okay. Yes.
Ainsley said, I would love the reaction from a woman in the crowd. And
I wouldn't vote for a woman. And especially, you know, Nikki Haley, I'm just going to say this. She's probably menopausal. We don't need that.
Okay. She said, how about we
all
vote
right,
for people?
That's good. That's good. Monica Crowley. I've heard it. I've heard it all.
Well, look, I think most of the American people would vote for a female president of the United States, but it has to be the right female. Mrs. Clinton was not the right female. Nikki Haley is not the right female. So when the right woman comes along, I think the American people would absolutely vote for that person, but that person has not yet emerged.
Monica, I'm curious. I know you've covered politics for a long time. I never really understood Nikki Haley's strategy here. It seems like the longer she stayed in, the more she hurt herself. And then the way she bowed out by not even endorsing President Trump. I'm not, you know, what is she, leaving the party? I don't get this.
Yeah, pretty disgraceful display today by Nikki Haley. I mean, think about when Governor DeSantis stepped out of the race. He withdrew and immediately endorsed Donald Trump. That was a very smart move on his part, and that's the way it's done. You know, politics can be very, very brutal and bruising, and it can get personal, but in the end, you can't take it personally. And it looks like Nikki Haley has, and the way she came out of this race today just makes her look small and petty, unfortunately, by not endorsing Trump. And then insulting his entire voter base and the America First movement by saying, yeah, basically, I'm not going to endorse him. I'm going to make him earn my supporters' support. And, you know, that's just so insulting to the American people. Look, Donald Trump is not a run-of-the-mill candidate like Nikki Haley. All right. Donald Trump is actually leading a movement, the America First movement. That puts him on a completely different level from Nikki Haley or anybody else who's running for president. And, you know, the fact that she doesn't understand that. I just want to make one other point here, too, because it occurred to me this morning. Nikki Haley was always talking about Donald Trump and the chaos that he brings with him and the chaos of his first term, and that she was going to bring calm and a responsible approach to governance. And, you know, she has created a lot of chaos in her wake here. She also talked about wanting to be a unifier of the Republican Party and yet won't endorse Trump. That creates division and disunity, not unity. But the bigger point here is that all of the chaos in America is brought to us courtesy of the communist left in this country. And the fact that Nikki Haley could not see that or did not want to see it and identify it and work to combat it is one of the major reasons why she is not going to be the Republican nominee.
No, I'm glad you mentioned that, because this is, we are in the throes of a communist takeover. You can call them leftist or progressives or whatever, but these are the policies of the communist. And that's why this election is so vitally important. You know, we had Governor Mike Huckabee on the first hour of the show, and he was really very sober about what is at stake in the fall. And I'm curious to hear from you, Monica. What, in your estimation, is at stake this fall?
Well, the stakes could not be higher. You know, it's a cliche now to say, well, every 4 years we say this is the most important election of our lifetime. This actually is. And here's why. I spend a lot of time over the course of my career, and certainly on my current podcast, talking about the fact that we are in the midst of a Marxist revolution. This Marxist revolution is all about power. Yes, the Marxist ideology drives a lot of it, but in the end, communism, any of these ideologies, are solely about power and control over other human beings. We have been subjected to this Marxist revolution for decades, and we didn't know it. We didn't notice it because we as conservatives are busy raising our families, working, contributing to society, supporting our fellow man, involved in our communities. So we didn't notice this for decades and decades, Todd. But this has been ongoing, and they've chipped away tremendously at our Constitution and at all of our institutions to the point now where we are at the tipping point. So now, thank goodness, a lot of people are waking up, but the hour is very late. And so when we talk about this election being the most important one, it, literally, if we do not win, the country is over. You have the regime now, arresting their political opponents, arresting journalists for trying to do journalism. They're literally jailing people, which is what a tyranny is all about, crushing speech. Jailing their opponents. I mean, we are in a tyranny now, and we have one last shot to hold back the tsunami of true tyrannical oppression here. And if we blow it, it's over. Literally, the country will be over. So I hope the American people understand what's at stake.
No, I do too, Monica, and that concerns me. I know I was looking at the local numbers here in Memphis. Less than 10% of registered voters went to the polls yesterday, and that's offensive. We have got to get everybody out there, and this is going to be an all hands on deck. It's going to be a tough fight, but it is winnable if we all get out and vote.
Well, yes, that's exactly right. The get out the vote operation. Thank goodness we are having new RNC leadership, but also state by state, even in red states like Tennessee and Florida, Texas, and others. We need all hands on deck. We need a massive get out the vote operation in all of these states and communities. And I just want to encourage everybody listening, you know, when you think, well, I'm just one person, what can I do? This is what you can do to help save your country. Get involved at the local level. Get involved with get out the vote operations. If you're an attorney, maybe you volunteer your expertise in terms of ballot challenges and things like that happening in your community and in your state. Volunteer to be a poll watcher. You know, whatever it might be, it doesn't have to be money. It could be time. It could be expertise. But we need everybody involved here to get as many bodies voting as possible on our side. And also in terms of the early voting, the mass mail-in balloting, all of these things that we have to get engaged in, ballot harvesting, ballot chasing. Turning Point USA has a great, which they've just developed, a great ballot chasing operation. Contact Turning Point. Tell them you want to help in that regard as well. We need everybody mobilized here. We cannot leave anything on the field.
No, we cannot. And that's a great word of encouragement and a challenge to all of our great listeners across the country. Monica, I know you've got an incredible podcast, the Monica Crowley Podcast, folks. Be sure to subscribe and get that. Monica, who's coming up on the podcast?
Oh, that's so nice of you to say. Yes, thank you. And in fact, on tomorrow's podcast, I'm going to break down Super Tuesday, of course. But I'm also going to talk about this clip from MSNBC with Jen Psaki and Rachel Maddow laughing at the voters of Virginia for caring primarily about illegal immigration as the number one issue. And I'm going to tease out why a clip like that could actually help Trump win the election. So that's coming up on tomorrow's show. I've got Charlie Spearing, of the Daily Mail, who wrote this great and horrifying book about who Kamala Harris really is. So I'm going to talk to him. And then next week, I'm going to have Rick Grinnell on the international threat coming at us from around the world, thanks to Biden's weakness, and all kinds of great things coming up on the Monica Crowley podcast.
All right, good stuff. Well, Monica, always good having you on the show, and we'll look forward to listening to the podcast.
I appreciate it so much, Todd. Thank you.
All right, Monica Crowley, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Again, our telephone number here, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Do you remember the story of a 12-year-old kid in Middleborough, Massachusetts? His name is Liam. He was punished by his school, his public school, taxpayer-funded school, for wearing a T-shirt that says, "There are only two genders." So look, here's the deal, folks. Students do not forfeit their free speech when they walk into a school. And it's not just about the shirt. It's about government officials telling a seventh grade boy that he can't say something that's important to him. That is not freedom. So, look, here's the deal. If the government can censor Liam, it can also censor you. Now, the school, what they did, that's illegal. All students have a constitutional right to express their free speech without having to fear being punished by school leaders. They can't be forced out of a classroom just for exercising their rights. And that is why Alliance Defending Freedom and the Massachusetts Family Institute are suing the town of Middleborough in federal court. So here's the deal. ADF, they don't charge a penny here. So Liam and his parents do not have to pay a single penny for their legal services. That's where you and I come in, because ADF needs our help. The only reason they can represent someone like Liam is because of the donations that you give, and all this month, we are raising money for Alliance Defending Freedom. Now, our goal is $20,000. That is our goal during this month-long radiothon. And here's how you can help. All you have to do is go to toddstearns.com and click on the banner at the top of the page. You can give $5, $10, $50, $100, whatever you can give would be greatly appreciated. Our goal is $20,000. We're knocking on the door of $3,000. And I'd like to get us to $3,500 today. So if you will help me out here and go to our website, click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner, and your gift is going to help Alliance Defending Freedom fight critical court battles for men and women just like you and for these incredibly courageous kids like Liam. That's what it's all about. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, this is interesting. A transgender influencer. This is one of the people that flashed his... now, is this a dude or a, is this... I always get confused. So this is a dude who thinks he's a woman. So he flashed his man boobies at a White House event. Remember that? I think it was last summer. And they had all the transgender people running around butt naked, flashing their moneymakers at people. Anyway, this guy now says that his dog has become transgender. Let's listen.
As you can see, Hera has a little cone on her head because my little baby just had gender-affirming surgery. Hera just had an orchiectomy, also known as one of the many forms of bottom surgery. But most of you will probably better understand me if I say that she was just neutered. Not spayed, neutered. Oh. My dog is trans, and I love her so much. She is recovering really well. The doctor said that the surgery went perfect. She was out and awake much quicker than I thought. and she has just been really lazy and chill. She's definitely like in good spirits and has more energy than I anticipated, but I'm really proud of her and I'm so, so happy for her. All jokes aside, though, here's your reminder to respect transgender people, our pronouns, our names, because you can't tell someone's gender just by looking at them, just like you can't tell a dog's gender. And another important reminder that gender does not equate to sex. Dogs don't really have a gender. Sure, they have a physical sex, and most animals do act a specific way according to their sex characteristics. However, Hera does not. Hera has never been territorial. She doesn't lift her leg, and she couldn't be happier. I've heard that some dogs, after they get fixed, are like sad or depressed or low energy, but so far, Hera is happy as could be. She has so much more energy than I ever thought she would have immediately after surgery. She ran straight up to me. At the end of the day, Hera just wants to be loved and fed and taken care of, and she could not care less what her name is, what her pronouns are, or what I assign her gender. And if you're mad about it, maybe you should ask yourself why you're not more mad that human adults are assigning gender to babies.
I think Hera wants his man parts back, or his donkey parts, if you will. What kind of a name is Hera, anyway? And by the way, so he's saying that the dog is a she, her, but the dog is a dude. It's a male dog, right? I'm telling you, I think the dog ends up biting this guy. Arr. Pardon me. Arr. These people are nuts. Slap crazy nuts. That's what these people are, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, you feel bad for the pet because the poor dog just, you know, the dog didn't ask for this. Don't they have a choice? Don't they have a decision? Well, Todd, that's not the way things work in the transgender movement. You see, we have a bond with other trans people and species. Okay. All right. I got it. So anyway, maybe this is why Biden's dogs were so angry all the time. Maybe they were trying to turn the dogs trans. Here's my take on this, folks. All of these people need to be in a hospital and they need to be treated. That's what needs to happen. And you feel bad for the dog because I suspect if the dog had his preference, he would still be a little boy dog. But now he's missing parts. And that's never a good thing. By the way, do we know if this transgender activist, if he has his original working parts, or did he turn those in at the hospital? How dare you? This is my real speaking voice, Todd. My real speaking voice. All right. I'm just telling you, this, folks, if they're doing it to dogs, imagine what they're doing to the kids in the public schools. That's all I'm saying here. Just imagine what they're doing. Oh, my God. By the way, what's up with this? Did you pick up? There's a little whiff of, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's a biblical word. The affection this man has for the pooch. It's bestiality. It's a whiff. Did you catch a whiff of that? Oh, I love my dog. Okay, are you sniffing the butt now? Is that what they do? You know, because that's what the, trans people sniff each other's butts? I don't know. Poor dog. The dog didn't ask for this. Poor dog. I wanted a heterosexual family. What's wrong with you people? Hang tight. We'll be right back. You know what I've been doing for the longest time? When I get home after, you know, dealing in the world of chaos all day, go home, cook dinner, and I watch the Andy Griffith Show. I've got all the old shows. Andy Griffith Show, Petticoat Junction, the old Jetsons, remember that? I've got all those old shows. I love that kind of stuff. And I never was a big fan of the Waltons. It was always so sad. I just, you know, every time you wanted a good laugh and then somebody died. And so I wasn't a big fan of the Waltons. But anyway, there are a lot of great programs out there. And the point being, there's a lot of crazy stuff on television these days and just not a lot of good stuff for the family. And our next guest has a solution to all of that. He is the president and chief executive officer of Great American Media, and they have a new streaming arm, Great American Pure Flix. Bill Abbott is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Bill, hope you're doing good today.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
So am I the anomaly here? You know, I just kind of miss that good, family-friendly, wholesome entertainment.
No, you're in the majority. I think that that's universally acknowledged by everyone except those in Hollywood. The point of view of, you look back and you hit on it 15 years, the 8 o'clock hours certainly, and even the 9 and 10 o'clock hours were very much appropriate for all members of the family on broadcast TV and in cable as well. And now it's shocking some of the things that you see at 8 o'clock or at 7 o'clock, much less at 10. So, there's just been a race to the bottom driven by awards and driven by being cutting edge and driven by people who want their next job at the next big quote unquote thing.
But here's what I like about you, Bill, is that, yeah, there's one thing, you know, for people to complain about it, but you actually did something about it. And I'm excited about the new streaming arm. Tell everybody about Great American Pure Flix.
Yeah, we're excited about it too. So PureFlix was a service founded really before streaming was cool. The founders were visionaries. Michael Scott, who was one of the founders of the platform, really identified this trend of being able to stream content and do it in a way that created an experience. And so we merged with this and purchased this back in June, and it provides us with not only an additional platform, but one that can offer more variety in the family space. So we can have kids content, which is hard to do in linear for a variety of reasons. We can have more dramatic content that we stay away from more. As you mentioned, the Waltons, can have sad moments. We try and keep our linear platform as a positive, uplifting space where you can go after a hard day's work and feel good about what you're watching and not deal with some of the things that you were dealing with all day long. But PureFlix gives us that opportunity really to showcase and grow our brand in a variety of different ways that we didn't have before.
It makes me a horrible person, right? I didn't like the Waltons growing up, Bill. All right. Just a bad person.
No, I totally understand. I get that point of view. Totally.
No, look, the other thing that, and this for me, this is hugely important, is that, everything is done in an excellent way. It's very clear that you have directed people to be excellence driven in their work. And I think that's certainly representative in the great website platforms that you guys have.
Yeah, quality is our North Star, and pursuing creative excellence in everything that we create, from the location to the script development to the storytelling to the character arcs to the music, all of those things are integral to us telling a story that's supportive of faith, family, and country, and very different from what the typical entertainment show might be. So quality is critical to our success and our brand.
So you've spent a long time in television, and more than 30 years. I got to work at Fox News Channel for 15 years and moved back home to Memphis and bought a news radio station. What's that experience been like for you? Again, working in the industry and now doing this with Great American Media.
Well, I was blessed right out of the gate to work at the Family Channel that was owned by the Christian Broadcasting Network, and Tim Robertson, who's a visionary in the business and really identified a lot of these trends to start. And my passion for family friendly entertainment grew out of that and just began to really exponentially grow as I saw what was happening across the landscape with television to start, and well, movies to start, and then television just going in such a direction that was so counter to what I think the majority of people want to see. And So, you know, why there aren't more outlets out there that are positive and uplifting and life affirming. I kind of do understand, but I really don't understand from a business point of view, because I think that's where the majority of the audience is.
Isn't it so funny? I'm a huge fan of Blue Bloods, which is on CBS, and it has been a hugely successful franchise for them. And I read all the reviews, and they're normally bad. And people, you know, the TV experts are, well, we can't figure out why all these Americans love watching this program. And imagine that, you know, a pro-law enforcement, pro-America, pro-faith family. Yeah, they can't figure out why that resonates with people.
It's pretty amazing. It never ceases to amaze, you know, how people who are so blessed to live in this country aren't necessarily appreciative of it.
And I know that there are people in my family that will appreciate this over at greatamericanfamily.com. You guys already have your countdown to Great American Christmas, 226 days. Well done there. So, and that's a big thing, because other channels sort of, you know, their Christmas programming moved into this weird place. But you guys are all about the family.
We are. And I think that's what separates us from everybody else, that, you know, we are focused first on that high quality storytelling. And then secondly, on being reflecting faith, family, and country in a positive light that is, more reflective of what we believe the majority of people want to see. And we're very excited about our slate coming up this year. Candace Cameron Bure, who's our chief creative officer, is wonderful. Obviously, Queen of Christmas, although she's too humble to acknowledge that title. And our slate of movies is shaping up very nicely for this Christmas season.
All right, let's walk people through this, Bill, because I know so many of our listeners are going to want to sign up for the new streaming service, Great American Pure Flix. I understand that they can text the word RESCUE to 877-999-1225, and we've got all this information on our live show blog. But you guys are offering a 7-day free trial, is that right?
We are. And so that's to find the linear channel, you would utilize that text to subscribe to Great American Pure Flix or get a 7-day free trial. You would just type in Great American Pure Flix, and that will take you to the online space in which you can view all of our content. And I know you will find it a positive experience in which faith and family and country are celebrated.
Super excited about this. And I know our listeners are going to be all over this. Let's talk about some of the upcoming projects that you guys are working on for Great American Media.
Yeah, well, we have one right now that's premiered called County Rescue that is follows an EMT unit. And more than that, while it does deal in some of the EMT activity, it's a wonderful journey that shows their life. And it's not a reality show. It's a scripted show, but it's a journey of people's lives as they are EMTs. And that includes romance. That includes, you know, different issues that they're dealing with. That includes the lightness that they can find every day. This Easter, we're really excited about our lineup with we've licensed The Blind exclusively, which is the story of the Robertsons.
Oh, yeah. Great movie.
Robertson, which is Duck Dynasty, and a big success at the box office and something very proud to have. And then we have on Good Friday, The Passion Play, which is a reenactment of Good Friday and Resurrection, as well as the history of Easter brought to us by the Museum of the Bible, which we're very proud to partner with. And finally, we have a Candace Cameron Bure produced movie called Just in Time, starring Laura Osnes, that is shows a couple's journey through the ups and downs of marriage and some of how faith can really help through not only marriage, but in your own life, and how important it can be as you, you know, hopefully celebrate every day.
I love this. So look, Bill, here's the deal. If you guys are ever going to do a show about, say, a great American barbecue show, I'm your guy. I can do that for you.
Well, thank you, Todd. That's the streaming service offers us the opportunity to do lifestyle content. So certainly,
I love it. Absolutely. All right. Well, look, Bill, congratulations. We'd love to get you back on, and we definitely want to promote all of the new shows that are coming out. I know our listeners have been craving this. And, of course, folks, all that information is going to be on ToddStarnes.com. Bill, congratulations. And most importantly, thank you for doing this for the country.
Well, thank you, Todd. Thank you for the opportunity to be here.
All right. Bill Abbott, everybody. Great American Media. And, again, all that information on our live show blog. But you're going to want to sign up for the streaming arm, Great American Pure Flix. I've already done it. You should do it as well. And the best part, there is a 7-day free trial to get the service. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 is our number. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, we have a great show coming up for you on Newsmax TV, The Todd Stern Show, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax TV. We'll be right back. All right, I got to give a shout out here to the Memphis Police Department. They've just ramped up Code Zero, and they arrested more than 100 criminals during a crime-fighting effort. Again, this is called Operation Code Zero. Memphis cops pulled over 500 motorists. They made 37 felony arrests in just one day during the operation. Over 100 criminals arrested. Good for you. And by the way, this is how you do it. Now, the question is, what is our radical George Soros district attorney going to do? Is he going to turn around and just let all these people out of jail? We shall see. But well done, Memphis Police Department. And these guys are so underfunded and understaffed. For them to get out there and do something like this, I'm telling you, this is how you fix it. It is a shock and awe campaign. And that's exactly how you stop these criminal thugs. All right. Speaker Johnson announcing just a few moments ago that they are making some budget cuts to government agencies. He says that they're going to cut just 3% of the Justice Department's budget, 7% from the ATF, 6% from the FBI, and 10% from the EPA. Is that it? That's it? Are you satisfied with those numbers, everybody? I mean, why are we not... I mean, fine, if you don't want to cut 100%, why don't we cut 25%? Let that be the starting point. Across the board, 25% budget cuts for all of those alphabet agencies. Are you satisfied with what Mike Johnson is doing here? 3%? Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, very excited about the interviews coming up. We're doing a lot of book promotion, and we're also lining up some big book tours. You folks in Wichita, Kansas, we've just about wrapped up the plans for that event. We do have a date that we're working on with Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there. We're going to be coming to Gainesville. We're going to be doing a lot of traveling through the summer months. As we get out and sign books and meet you folks, we'll be doing the show on the road. But next week, it's going to be pretty jam-packed. Flying to Washington, we have a big event. The Conservative Policy Institute is hosting us for a big event. And we're going to be talking about the book, meeting a lot of lawmakers. From there, flying from D.C. to Santa Barbara, where I'll be addressing several hundred high school students at the Young Americas Foundation, their big high school conference. And we're going to be talking about what it means to be a conservative and the importance of religious liberty to conservatives and to the nation as a whole. And, of course, we'll also be signing a lot of books. And one of the nice things about this newest book called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? This is a book that the family can read. So I want young people to read this book. They're gonna get some good laughs, but they're also going to understand some fundamental principles of what it means to be a conservative and why we have to be fighting for our rights every single day. Last night, I mean, this is like, wow, the day started at 6 a.m. and it ended around 8 o'clock last night. That's just kind of the way these things go. But I did a great show, great interview with Officer Tatum, Brandon Tatum, a former police officer, now talk show host. And we just had a great conversation. So much so, Dylan, that Officer Tatum invited me to do a show live in Phoenix at a cigar bar. So
you smoke cigars?
I don't smoke cigars.
You may have to start.
No, I can't. I can't do that.
It's classy.
I'd go, but I don't know if I can smoke a stogie. So, but I'm gonna have to learn. One of my favorite all time radio shows on the weekend, and the guy stopped doing his radio show, and it so frustrated me. I was so heartbroken. Cigar Dave. Any of you folks remember the Cigar Dave show? That was one of the best weekend shows in all of radio. And all he talked about was cigars, conservative politics, and red meat. And that was pretty much, oh, and he liked the spirits, if you will. And it was a great show. And now it's just a podcast. But anyway, we miss Cigar Dave. So all that to say, I'm excited to get out there and meet folks, talk to folks from California back to Memphis, and then we're back to California again, and then Phoenix, and off to Wichita, Kansas. Whew, I'm going to need a nap. I really am going to need a nap. So the books will be in stores March 19th, but I need your help, and this is where you can come in handy. We need you to tell folks about the book and help us spread the word. Go to Amazon.com. You can pre-order a copy, and you can bring that copy to one of the signings, and I'll be happy to autograph it for you. Again, Amazon.com, the name of the book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. Real quick, let's go to Jeff in Georgia, WDUN. Jeff, you got about 45 seconds, sir.
Todd, love the program. Appreciate what you do down here in Georgia.
Thank you.
I just heard you a little bit of a complaining on the speaker's attempt to our proposal to cut the budget. Listen, I just appreciate anybody wanting to cut anything. As we've always said in business, you can cut 5% of anything, but cut him a little slack because he is the only one talking about cutting the budget. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on this one.
All right, Jeff. I will concede that point. And you're right. At least he is cutting something. But between you and me, Jeff, I'd like to see a whole lot more cut.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, Jeff. Appreciate the call. And Jeff has a good point. And so we will give the speaker that. We do appreciate that he is cutting, but we sure would like to see him cut a whole heck of a lot more. All right, folks, it has been a great day. Don't forget, head over to the website. Our radiothon for Alliance Defending Freedom continues, so check that out. And then 5 o'clock Eastern, watch us on Newsmax 2. Have a great one, everybody, and you be good, America.